Hello, everyone. It's 3:04. This is the time and place for the Public Art and Community Design Committee's Education Subcommittee. I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Adrian Ackerman?
Here.
Brandon Varela?
Here.
Leanne Hernandez?
Here.
Thank you, and we do have a quorum. Next on the agenda is the introduction of guests and attendees. I will begin. My name is Sadie Shaw. I'm the Public Art and Community Design Administrator at the Arts Foundation. It's one of my tasks to facilitate the PACDC meetings and their subcommittee meetings.
I'll go ahead and go next. My name is Brandon Varela. I am the Curator and Director of the Old Boston Museum and at the Culture Center.
Oh, I'm Leanne Hernandez, and I'm a community member here in Ward 1.
Adrienne Ackerman, mayoral appointee to PACD, excited education subcommittee enthusiast.
Thank you. Wilwin?
Wilwin Reyes, Director of Public Art, Arts Foundation.
Great, thank you. Next on the agenda, item 3, review and vote on April 21st, 2025, Education Subcommittee meeting minutes. The draft minutes have been sent to all committee members for their review. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve this, Leanne.
Thank you. Motion by Leanne. Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
Well, so I did miss the PACD meeting that was last week, and anything interesting happened in terms of the, because subcommittee was on the agenda, so anything pertaining to this, I guess, discussed at that meeting?
Yeah, I did send out the minutes, the draft minutes, to the PACDC members and just gave a brief update basically about, you know, what happened and the requested items and gave them the date for today's meeting. And that was basically it.
Okay, I see it. Thank you for sending that out.
Of course. Yeah, and I did send out the legal action report today to the BCC office, so they should be posting that either today or tomorrow if you want to review it, and the audio file.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Of course. Any other comments or questions?
No.
Okay, with that, I will do a roll call vote. Adrian Ackerman?
Approved.
Brandon Varela?
Approved.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approved.
Okay, unanimous approval. Thank you. All right, item 4, Arts Foundation Communication Strategy, discussion and review of the Arts Foundation for Two from Southern Arizona's Communication Strategy for Public Art Opportunities. Wilwin and I will be presenting on this item. Our comms team is kind of in flux right now, so they aren't able to make today's meeting, but we have sent you their presentation, and we can share our screen as well. Wilwin, do you have the presentation pulled up?
No, I do not.
Okay, I'll share my screen. Get to it. Give me a moment. Okay. All right. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So they are sending us a marketing plan for Solid Arte 2025. Although this is, a call to artists and program that is with the Pima County Health Department, it very closely mimics the request for qualifications that we do for every Arts Foundation project that comes through us, whether or not it's the City of Tucson, Pima County, or a private entity. And just table of contents, what you can expect. And we all receive this, right?
We can see it, or we received it?
You received it. I hope you had a chance to review it. Okay, great. Okay, so the goals of the 2025 Solidarte program was to increase awareness of this RFQ, to encourage regional new artists to apply, and also to connect with stakeholders to help spread the word. Compared to the last Solidarte, we absolutely had an influx of new artists and artist teams who applied. We had 44 applications total for this round, as opposed to, last time we did each district, and there was about anywhere from 4 to, 11 for each of Pima County Supervisory Districts. And so we definitely learned a lot from the first Solidarte in regards to targeting and really spreading the word through both word of mouth and other, art networks. So again, besides spreading it through our connections that we have, typical RFQ agencies around the country, we did also reach out to journalists. We had a press release. We sent it out to all the elected officials, all the health officials, and then tapped into the creative agencies around Tucson, Pima County, Arizona, and beyond. We did receive, many applications from folks who were both in Arizona and Tucson, across the country and international. And that's typical for pretty much every RFQ that we send out. This slide goes more into depth of some of the people that we send the RFQ out to. And you'll notice that we switched kind of our language in from call to artists to request for qualifications, because it speaks to more about what the application is like. We're not asking people to, pitch what their idea is. We're asking them to list out what qualifies them for each commission.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, we will always promote opportunities through our newsletter. There are more than 5,000 subscribers. We'll put it on our website and all of our social media accounts. You can see all the amount of followers we have across each of the different platforms. We also do ads. We found that putting around $500 or more to social media ads for each project has really helped in increasing the viewership for that and similarly boosting how many people apply. Sometimes we do too good of a job. There's certain projects that will get more than 100 applicants, and that's great that happens, but it can also be a burden on the panelists when that happens. But it shows that, we're reaching a lot of people, and the commission opportunity is very good. So people want to try out for it. Like I already said, we do elected officials, we do press releases, and then over here on the right side shows some of the websites, different artist networks that we reach out to, publicartist.org, Public Art Exchange, if you want to check those out. on your own time, you can see some of the other CTAs or RFQs that are going out from other agencies like ourselves. Not really familiar with forecast. Maybe Roland can talk about that. But, of course, we reach out to the art schools, LAC, Creative West, FECA. We also share everything with FECA. There are, like, you know, sister arts agency here in town. And then we also table and have ads at different places. Like in the past, we did the Loft Cinema. And we distribute flyers as well. Any questions? Or, Willen, do you want to add anything?
Sure. Forecast is a nonprofit and a publication for public art nationwide. They also are part of, if not main people behind it, created the PACS, which is a public art network, which is for anybody. Y'all could join it, should join it, check it out. We have an Arizona public art network specific to administrators in our state. And it's a way to get informed of what's going on locally and nationally in the public art scene. There's called the arts that go there, panel opportunities, anything public art related on a national scale goes through the PACS Public Art Exchange, and it's run by administrators and artists and community members.
So, you were mentioning that, you know, like 100 or 200 applications will be burdensome. What do you think is, like, the ideal number of submissions just so that the community has, you know, a good range of artists to select from and stories to tell?
I can chime in.
Yeah, please.
We found that around 30s.
30, uh-huh. Okay.
And it's one thing if the panel is being paid, but, like, if it's all unpaid and they have to, you know, take time to review all those applications. I think most of you have served on a panel before, and as you know, like, there's a lot of information to go through, not to mention all the work that happens at the panel meetings. And so most of the projects that go through, most if not all that go through the PACDC are not paid panel positions. But, you know, the Arts Foundation would love to pay all panelists, but usually it's for special projects like Thriving the 05 and Solidarte that have a dollar amount attached to the administration of it, so that we're able to do that. But, you know, we're always advocating that we can change things and hopefully
it's more about advocacy. So the CFP projects, as you all know, the 80s don't say anything specifically about paying panelists. They don't say anything specifically about not paying panelists. So projects like Solidarte, where it's not a city project, it's, there's no ADs, we still follow that process because it's a good one for public art, but we ensure that part of the allocation is paying panelists, and we built a relationship with Housing and Community Development, and part of that funding is private, so we've been able to, or we are able to, pay panelists for that project that's coming up, or those three projects coming up. One more thing about the number of applications is the application, we've been using this process of reaching out to these people, but the call was broad, you know, public art, Tucson, and then we get 100-something plus, you know, applications globally. Then we looked at all those applications and, you know, maybe a third of them would actually fit because, say, the project is a street project, a road project that has no walls. A muralist can't really work in that field without building a wall or hiring someone to work at a much larger scale. So when we narrow down the field or narrow down the calls to be specific to each project, that's where we're hitting our 30 to 50 mark that is more appropriate because, you know, emerging muralists aren't applying to, you know, $300,000 projects because they're just not at that level to meet that work without a partnership, which is, you know, something I've been thinking about, but We're not ready for that yet. Merging artists with established artists on the same project.
Okay. Good to know. And do you have regularly scheduled, you know, sessions for artists to understand, like, what public art is available in our community? And, I mean, are there, you know, grant sessions? Just, like, what do you do in order to prepare, you know, maybe artists who aren't as versed in applying for these submissions as others? Is there anything?
Well, there are these calls that specify what we're looking for. And one thing we've gone above and beyond the normal calls and why we make them specific, is because some projects, like the big street projects that are like $1 million, there's too much involved for that to be just like, if you do these steps, you can apply to this. It's more about like, you need years of experience under your belt of working with the city to be able to meet the deadlines and all the, like, permits and all those things that are required. So we've, like, made, like, all these, like, Prop 407 park projects.
Uh-huh.
We've changed the language and made, like, design only or emerge all artists apply. Like, we make the language specific in each call to make it clear. But as far as, like, a educational aspect, that's something broader that's being developed in the future. We're still developing a protocol, but I think I might have talked about the public art tour before. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Public art tour? Not off the top of my head, honestly.
So this is more of an educational wing. There's no funding for it. We're doing it on our own. We're getting, you know, trying to get funding from NEA, which obviously is a challenge right now, to create a series of workshops or like sessions for artists that are interested in moving from two-dimensional art to three-dimensional art, not necessarily youth artists, but like emerging artists or artists that may be established in painting, but they want to get into public art. This will be like an 8 to 12 week sort of course, where they work with public art professionals and artists that we've built a cohort of. It's, they get paid for it and they participate in the process, so they know from the beginning, like, how to apply, what permits mean, what it means to do community engagement in your community. We're planning something like that that's broader, that can just be available on a website, or when the funding is available, redo the workshop every, you know, so often years to make it sort of a series.
Got it. Cool.
Yeah, hopefully that could get off the ground one of these days, because it will definitely help bring new people into the public art scene. But as Wilwin said, we have webinars typically webinars for our grants. And then whenever I have a project or Ariel has a project, we're always fielding emails that, you know, ask specific questions about the application process, and we take phone calls, we meet people via Zoom. Sometimes we even have people come into the office if they have questions about the application process. So,
got it.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be helpful? And I feel like I'm talking a lot, so Brandon and Adrian, if you want to dip in here, but I just am wondering, like, what would be of the most use? Do we have a usefulness or utility as a committee, the three of us, in assisting with any of these processes, or where do you all see as staff us being helpful instead of just time consuming?
Well, I will say one thing is that, just to piggyback off of Lillian, is that the change of the language when you do throw out, I have seen that, and I have seen the Arts Foundation tying up their calls out there, because there are a couple of artists too that have talked to me, and then all the way from emerging to even some collectives, and it does get a little complex, like how you said, well, like for the larger projects, like for the city that involve permits that involve like six-figure amounts that need to be spent somewhere. And so speaking with, you know, who I have already and letting them know all that, it can be a little daunting at first, but like you said, I guess collaborating with someone with years of experience knows how to weave through those smaller obstacles that come up with it. But the language and tightening that up has definitely helped out a lot of people. Well, from my experience anyway, that like are looking to apply for any of the opportunities that have there. But as far as getting everything out there in sort of like a workshop or like a class, of course that is always like the best thing that anyone can do, because there is a lot of questions that come up, and for some it can be a little I guess overwhelming, not knowing the processes that need to take place or whatnot. You know, in a perfect world we would have like everyone be able to attend some sort of workshop or get some education on that. But yeah, you know, going through it and experience it and just keep applying is like one of the things that I see people do, and then they get the hang of it within like a few projects.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Brandon and Leanne. I really appreciate. I wasn't chiming in because I was like, oh, Leanne's covering so much. Like, you're doing great. But I think, I think covering the tribal and rural outreach partners would be helpful before moving on. And I guess I just want to like I want to honor your question, Leanne, and I do really, you know, care for the team here from the Arts Foundation, and definitely don't want to be like creating more work or a burden. But I think it's kind of, at least from my memory of why, you know, you asked for this, and I think we all were on board for having this presentation, was let's get an understanding of where folks are already doing outreach, and then of where the Art Foundation is already doing outreach. And then we were going to take that list, which I think might, this is accessible, but I also think it would be nice to have like a list, like all on one page, even if it's just like the names of orgs, to the larger PACD group, and like pose that question that you were just asking, Leanne, like to the larger group, after doing some brainstorming here around like, how can we get, deeper and more impactful inroads into particular communities, whether that's like identity-based, location-based, et cetera. I think that was one of the things we wanted to be able to help with. And I think like I'm seeing so many orgs on here, and so awesome. And so many of them, at least in the page just before this, are art-focused. And so thinking outside the box of like, where might we be able to reach and lay the groundwork for that coming art core and get like more or less experienced artists into like some awareness of where they can track these things.
Can I address the question real quick? Because I've also thought about that. There's a middle space that's not being addressed, or and that might be, it's not micro level enough to spread through the PACDC because it's, you know, sort of opaque or vague. Where I've been trying to launch this thing called How Public Art Works, which is just a media campaign for a long time, and just haven't had capacity or time to focus on it. So I'm hoping we can do this first or soon, because it's also a precursor to the Public Art Core. And it's essentially little snippets of media packages, depending on, it could be small or big, but there could be small chunks that are already prepared in like a newsletter or a JPEG or ready for social media, that has like how to start public art. What is the PACDC? Basically an overview, but in very easy to grasp, like one pagers or graphics.
Yeah.
And if we could get that put together with input from you and other community members, then those are things that we can just distribute, and then you can take to your more micro communities.
Mm-hmm.
To be very specific, like, oh, wait, there's this call that, well, now that we can see the year plan from Wilwin's Bank DC or Wilwin's Public Art Report, there's two projects in our neighborhood, one's for emerging, one's for more established. You can, like, pick from those other assets, and then, like, you know, neighborhood associations can be like, hello, youth between blah, 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 blah. Here's all these assets that make it a lot clearer. So, like, here's the call, and here are things that help you with that call,
yeah.
Seeing as, like, micro assets. So we could help youth help developing those or maybe not even developing, but reviewing them to make sure that we'll reach your audiences, your constituents.
Yeah, I mean, I want, at the end of the day, I want us to be useful, you know, to you as staff and to the community at large, you know.
Totally, yeah, and then I think that's like your neighborhoods, the orgs that you work with, or the art collectives, or just schools, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the level of reach that, as an organization, we don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe a start is to send all the PAC-DC members, like, the press package that has the press release, all the graphics, the links, in case anyone wants to distribute them to their networks.
Well, I wonder also if there's a way to just, or if there's a particular type of link, or if it's already on the website, you know, can we just use a strategic QR code or link that just goes straight to the, you know, information on the website so that folks can, you know, so that it's not about, like, so we're all utilizing and pushing people to the actual site, you know, if that's going to be how things are organized. You know?
Yes, I think, you know, we always have a tab on our website with any new projects, and so maybe it's just a matter of adding all the PAC-DC member emails to our email list if you all aren't on there already. I would assume most people are on there, but yeah, we definitely already have it. It's like ready to go. So,
yeah.
And I can actually just send it out so it's more at the top of people's email lists.
The website is, in my opinion, not super user friendly, and we're waiting for our comms team to be rebuilt,
mm-hmm.
to go into something that big. But I would love if the public art section of the Arts Foundation website was super clear mm-hmm. when you got on there. If you were an artist or a community member or whatever, you knew where to go directly, because it's kind of spread out and hard to navigate, even though the information is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear you on that.
Or even if there was just like a, you know, maybe when, I don't know how they're going to set it up once, you know, once the team is on there, but I think the easier that we can make this thing, like, you want, you know, like really, like really fun of elementary. Are you interested? Are you an artist who wants to do murals or, you know, public art in Tucson? Here's your four steps, you know, and then there's the buckets of information so that it's just really clear. And yeah, it's really elementary, but people don't want to look stupid, so they don't ask the most basic questions like how, why, what is it, you know what I mean? And so not having a lot of language, you know, but like just making it as clear and easy as possible to say, you know, I'm a neighbor who wants more art in my neighborhood. How do I get involved? I'm an artist who wants to contribute to the overall beauty of Tucson, or beauty and uniqueness of Tucson. Here's, you know, steps 1 through 5 to get it started. You know what I mean? Like a little boot camp or something. So that it's just so super, super duper clear that anybody could benefit, you know? You state the obvious and you know, as you get clearer on what you're trying to get, you know, the simpler you are, the more complex it becomes, right? And so I just think that, yeah, because I agree with, Fluent. It is a little bit difficult. The website is overwhelming because there's so much happening there.
I agree. The language in our RFQs now isn't like as sort of broad as before. It's usually such the question now, like, are you a this? Mm-hmm. Are you interested in that? And I feel like if our whole website was like that, it would be a lot easier to navigate.
Yeah.
But, thanks for that.
Our next item on the agenda, right, is, I actually don't have it up in front of me, so maybe I'm being silly, but isn't it on the toolkit that we were talking about creating that includes, like, all of these things that Willen and Leanne, you're talking about? And, I think, like, that's, like, where we landed last time was that there were going to be some things created and that we would be able to provide feedback on them.
Thanks for mentioning that. So I believe that is the next item on the agenda, so let's table the solution until the next agenda item. Right now is mainly just to learn about the outreach strategy that the Arts Foundation does for most of their projects.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this slide up for a little bit, but the tribal and rural outreach partners are here on the screen. We do reach out to our tribal partners, the ones that we are connected with already. Mainly, as you know, we have a specific region. Usually it's below the Gila River, and so San Carlos Apache, Tama Odam, Gila River, and Kokopa tribe. Then we have listed some of our stakeholder groups, whether it's just community organizations, people who are on our Arts Foundation board, and other leaders. Feel free to provide us with feedback on this if there are people that we are missing.
I'm curious why Yaki's not listed.
I'm curious too. So
this is also not complete. It looks like they sent something that was in process because it has like enlist, maybe enlist. So it's not complete. But also, if you can think of folks that we should be adding to here as contacts, that would help.
I can definitely come up with some names. We have our own radio station, and I think that's probably a good avenue that we can probably pursue. As well as, tabling events and everything like that, with our collaborations that we've been doing. So yeah, I'll go ahead and, send some names to, I don't know, who should I send them to? Sadie or?
You could send them to me, and I'll, forward it to our, comms team or to CC them on that. And we do radio ads sometimes. We did it for Solidarte and Ajo, and so, you know, maybe we can explore that as well with the radio station that you just spoke of. We do want to improve our outreach strategy, and so any holes that you see, you know, today or later on, please just reach out and let us know, like, who we should add to our network.
Yeah, definitely. Once I gather up the list, I'll go ahead and send them over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You should be on here, Brendan.
Yeah, and I guess if it is in progress, then I think what I would like to request is, like, just for maybe the comms. I know you're saying that the comms team is in flux, but, like, maybe the comms team could take a second look and just see, like, I know this was for Solidarte, but are there other contacts that should be in this full list that we are requesting, so that then we can, even if we're taking it from your slides and making our own list to have it all in one place for the other PACD members to see. I think this is like a clear example of how we can, in our personal networks, fill in some gaps together.
Because Brendan, I'm thinking, like, you know, is there a way to get it to the actual, you know, tribal council, you know, language and culture department, you know, the health department out there?
Yeah, no, definitely is. I'm not too familiar. I've worked with some of the directors for some of those departments. Mm-hmm. And as far as their outreach goes, I'm not sure how their network is. Usually, I mean, the best thing that I do or that works the best for me is reaching directly to the people that I know. And then from there, they'll usually just tell me where to go. Our networks are very different. Here at the museum, we really have more relationships with people closer in town.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the tribe works, their network and their communications team is, I'm not too sure on how that's organized.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the radio station. I work closely with Hector and Aaron, who's, I think, the interim director right now. And before, they were really cool about, you know, just giving out any information on any events that we have going out. But as far as actually on how they get their information out, I'm not too sure. I'll have to double check on that. But I do know the people from Language and Culture, as well as the radio station and the Wellness Center.
Yeah.
And they all do a wonderful job when they have events. And I'm sure that it's probably more simple than what I'm thinking about. But yeah, I'm pretty sure, I'm more than sure that we can go ahead and get them on board with the most simplest parts of communication, even like an email or something like that, to get any flyers or any information up towards that way.
Yeah. And I think also, Sadie, you know, I wonder about, you know, building relationships with like the intercultural or intertribal committee as well out of Phoenix. I mean, I know that they're above the Gila, but they work with all 21 tribes. And so, but I just was thinking, like, it might make sense, like, something like that. And also, I know that Arizona Local First runs the rural policy forum. And so, you know, getting on their radar might be really helpful. They have a really amazing organizer there named Ana Chavarin. And I just think that she would be tremendous. Even on the committee, but, you know, definitely as like a community advisory, right? Or like something like that.
Nice. Yeah, thank you all for your help in, you know, boosting up our network.
Hmm.
If I could make a recommendation to keep this going, if you all could consider agendizing it, if for something that we can create an actual list or share contact, and well, I don't know if you need that here, but it's public, of who to talk to so that we can ensure that the comms team gets those and then we can see them on this page.
Yeah,
maybe we can have just an update at one of our future meetings.
Perfect.
And if you all just want to send me your recommendations, I will be, you know, doing minutes from this meeting, and so I'll list everything that has been said, but if you think of anything else, let me know, or you have actually email addresses, phone numbers, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the top bar, we have some of our rural partners from Ajo, Douglas, Bisbee, Nogales, Yuma, Green Valley. What you're seeing here is some of the people that we've contacted, both with Solidarte and other projects, whether they're RFQs or grants. And so, yeah, if you know any other people or organizations that are within the rural areas, do let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the, well, one of the budgets. You can see how it's grouped up from Arizona Daily Star. We typically have an infographic in the Star, and then also we do Meta, just like Facebook, Instagram. And depending on the project, we may boost up any of these specific pools or find other avenues to promote it. Here's just a snippet of social media branding that we have done. This was for both Instagram and Facebook. So we're really trying to kind of follow our branding guidelines. If you've seen our seed, we're really trying to stylize each one and have it be very similar. Some of these motifs we used in the 2023 Solid Arte, so we definitely wanted some continuity with how each of the ads looked, but we wanted to make it different, and we always put like important information like the due date and the budget in any of the community partners logos. Feel free to jump in if you have any questions or comments.
Hello, Sid.
Just some variations of our graphics. This one's for MailChimp. And then here's a sample of the breast kit. Let's see if this QR code should be active if any of you want to scan it. It brings you to our Airtable that has a list of breast kits. So this is kind of what you guys were talking about already as far as being like easily accessible.
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
Did we all get a chance to scan this?
Yep.
Okay. Let me know if you want me to go back up. And then here's just some results from the 2025 Solid Arte campaign. And as you can see, just, you know, a couple hundred dollars here and there really does boost up how many people get to see our ads. And, yeah, that's it for this presentation. Any questions, or do you want me to go up to any of the slides?
I'm good. This is Liam. I think I've seen this. This is great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing this, because I think sometimes you all share a lot with us, but this is, like, really concrete for us to, like, have a sense of where we can go, potentially go with it, you know, how we can be of service. So I appreciate it very much.
Of course. I'll just stop sharing now. Any other thoughts or questions about this agenda item?
No, I guess just, do you think it's possible for us to get the full list so it's not divided by slides? It's like in an... maybe in like an editable document that so we could add to it?
Full list of the contacts?
Not contacts, but just like the orgs, the partners and orgs that you're sending things to as the Arts Foundation?
Yeah, I will ask our team if we can share that.
Okay.
I don't think it's a problem, but I'll look into that.
Yeah, we can probably do it on our end, just turn this presentation into a spreadsheet so that the team here can add. I mean, this would be a good place especially for the tribal and rural communities, where they can just like add names.
That'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I just think that's something that we can agendize it and we can keep bringing it back, but it's also like an action item we could just share with the other PACD members and be like, everyone collaborate on this spreadsheet and add, like we could even have a column that's like who added it so that we know like who may or may not be willing to be responsible to like send the press kit out when the different opportunities come up and to whom, but just like a way for us to start codifying like, how can we, like Liam said, be of service and spreading the good word?
Yeah. And Willen, just out of curiosity, how many current public art projects do we have, like, where we're looking actively for artists? How many are happening right now?
And that is our next agenda item, if we want to just move on to that. If there's no other questions about the communication strategy.
Yeah, can we please move on?
For sure. So, next up is item 5, upcoming public art projects, discussion and review of upcoming public art projects and opportunities that will be promoted over the next year by the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. And so, Willen.
Sure. We have one just closed, and we're going to launch one next month. And essentially, at the end of every public art report I didn't put one out last month because there's the annual plan, which is changing already, like when things are launching because of, you know, the way the city works. So we have a few coming up. If you're asking, like, how can we strategize for things coming up now?
Yeah,
what we could do is, does this committee meet? How often does this committee meet? Subcommittee?
We try to meet every month.
Okay. So it could be, depending on what comes first, this or the larger PAC-DC meeting is all sure by report. And then, if you want, you could agendize, time to discuss the upcoming ones and see how we can utilize your connection, your networks to strategically, you know, target communities.
That'd be awesome. Sorry, I hit a button on my. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
That was like the best enthusiastic cartoon moment for like approving that idea.
I know. I was like, that was a very celebratory response. Yeah. Thank you.
I like that idea. and maybe we could just have a standing item, you know, where we can look at, is that something we can do, is just have a standing, you know, agenda item where we're strategizing the next, or, strategizing upcoming art projects or art calls for artists. So it's just something that we always do?
At the PAC-DC meeting?
No, at this subcommittee meeting.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. If you all want to add that to a future agenda item, as a standing item, we can certainly do that.
I kind of love that idea at the PAC-D meeting.
I was just going to ask, you can agenda whatever you want here as the committee. But, so say there's a call out in, I'm just going to random, like Ward 4, where maybe these subcommittee members here
right.
won't have the same network as, you know, whoever our Ward 4 representative is.
Right.
So, maybe it's something we can look into if it's something that should just stay here to start or do it. I just don't want to overinflate the agenda for the big PAC-DC meeting.
I think that we would have more enthusiasm and connection and potential for future work, the more we actually, you know, utilize the skill sets and the relationships of the committee members. So, I mean, having a standing item where we're like brainstorming together is going to get all of us to participate more together and build trust, in my humble opinion. So,
I agree with you. I think it's a good idea. What I could use help with is what that strategy looks like, because so far mine has not been working that well, which is, These are what are coming up. Be a panelist or tell people that you know to be panelists, but this is happening in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Something more engaging, because I have not been able to crack that up personally, but I also haven't focused that hard on it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, and we're specifically, are we talking about panelists or are we talking about artists?
Both, all of it. Like,
okay.
Engage.
Because I do think, I just know that, yeah, it's probably harder to ask
folks in the room about panelists and artists, but that's part of, like, our duties is to not only sit on the panels, but, like, find people for them. So I'm loving this approach, Liam, that you're taking to, like, the utility and value of this exercise, too. And I think, like, the more we get people engaged in those meetings, like, the highest level of engagement I often see is, like, when a project that's already pretty far along in design feels like kind of hot button for some folks, or to be the first to like make a motion or second it, you know? And so I'm like, I totally agree. I think that this would be a great way to build enthusiasm. And I wonder if it starts with just reporting back to say like, hey, this is what we're doing in the education subcommittee. And we got this awesome presentation, about like the outreach that our foundation does. We asked them to make, to simplify it into a spreadsheet for us. And now we're going to ask you as our fellow members to do some homework with us and like really engage with us and help us expand like our avenues for dissemination, but not just by naming them, then we're going to like take some responsibility around them. And would you be open to a standing item where anytime there is an open call to artists coming up, we all get to strategize and help proliferate that call throughout our networks in the community. And I think like showing, I think that coming from like one of us as opposed to like one of the staff and like showing the progression of like, hey, y'all asked for an education subcommittee. We're meeting. This is what's happening. This is what we're planning. That's what I always imagined it would kind of go like anyway. So I wonder if we can try that once we have that list.
Absolutely. Because I mean, that could be our functionality, William, is like, you have the raw data, but we could be the advocate to say, okay, you asked for it. This is what, you know, here, thank you for the report, William. Now this is what we need, you know, how many of you, we need three panelists. We need to get this out to at least 50 artists. You know, who's going to take what?
Yeah, that would be so helpful.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
That would be, and that would be build engagement and like a connection from the committee too.
Yeah, which is what I think people want. No one's been able to figure it out. You know, I mean, there's been one-off moments, you know, and like the public art highlights were nice, but something that makes you feel like you're doing something more proactive, I think everyone would want that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be great because, you know, we're going to get browbeat every month by, you know, for apparently not knowing what we're doing. I would also want to have that, you know, that space to say, okay, this is what we learned. And so, you know, Adrian's taking Ward 4 or Ward 3, and, like, we're dividing it up. And, like, okay, I need five panelists. Who do you got? Or whatever, you know, that eventually we could have that, like, fluency with it. And the expectation is that it's a working committee.
Not to derail too much more, but this opportunity could also help steer what the call looks like, because there might be information from that PACUC member or the people they refer that might lend us or provide us in the city more like neighborhood specific concepts or themes that could benefit the whole project.
That would be rad. That would make me
totally
happy and useful, you know?
Yeah, because that's what the committee's four. Yeah.
And then just to keep us on the agenda, because the next item is informational kit for PECTC members. This current agenda item is about just upcoming public art projects, so we can, you know, talk more about how to promote things within the PECTC and its membership as the next item. Wilwin, did you go over all the upcoming public art projects, or do you want to refer them to any recent documents?
I mean, I did at the meeting last week or however long ago that was.
So yeah, if all the all the projects are in the public art plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions about future public art projects?
I want to pull them up so I make sure that I have them in front of me.
Morris K. Udall Park.
Okay.
Is coming up, and that's the one, I believe it's the one with the, hold on, let me scroll so far away. Yeah, that's the one with the inclusive playground. So, what could be helpful here is, folks in the region, of course, but also any folks that work with organizations or people, in accessibility.
Very cool.
So, and then we have Thrive Project coming up too, but it's too soon to talk about it because of our meetings tomorrow.
Oh, got it. Okay. So if I'm looking on the website, where would I find that call to artists? Okay, I found it. So there's a call for panelists, there's a Danny Lopez Park request, and a Salud Arte request. Those are the three that are up right now.
The Salud Arte RSQ has been closed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, our website, it really doesn't, it's not helpful.
It's awful.
In seeing which are open and which are closed.
As well, yeah, as the Lopez project, correct? I think Lucky was selected for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Udall's not out yet. We're still writing the RFQ is in draft as we speak.
Okay.
So that we plan to launch that in August, but the comms team needs like 5 weeks of editing before it can go out. So it's something that can be discussed if we're just doing language changes. But that one is the accessibility focused one, which, you know, a lot of our projects don't have themes. This one does because of the park or the playground.
Yeah.
So it's something that could be actioned or discussed for sure.
Is there any precedent on this committee? Because I know there's a commission on disability issues. That's another BCC from the city. Is there any precedent on this committee, like, working with other BCCs? For issue-specific art projects?
Not that I know of. And the art, where we're working with the city to focus the art on accessibility in the playground, but that's not required. It's just something we're doing instead of just being like, put a sculpture or whatever here. We want to make sure that the highlight is about the accessibility portion.
Totally. And I think that's fantastic. And thank you for doing that. And I just wonder, because there's a lot of people that work in, like, helping people get durable medical equipment or helping people across the spectrum in terms of accessibility and education and, like, sensory stuff on that CODI, the Commission on Disability Issues.
Mm.
So I just wonder, since that's, like, a built-in network of people who are leaders in that area in our city, if it might be, like, you might, like, I just wonder if there's an opportunity to get, like, an Arts Foundation agenda item on their next meeting or something to, like...
I don't know about that specifically, but what would be beneficial is for, if we can convey this to Ariel for, inclusion as far as additional panelists or non-voting stakeholders, and also when the artist is selected, additional, communities and user groups to reach out to for the, like, meet and greet and listening session.
Mm-hmm.
And also as far as the creation of the artwork, maybe having them be able to take a look at it before it's made to ensure that it's following beyond, you know, just ADA compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And cool. Maybe to have one of those folks on the panel would be great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what you all can help us with, mm-hmm. is like that extra reach out that we don't. So yeah, we have the minute, so I can send this to Ariel, but if not, Adrian, if you don't mind, I might have Ariel reach out to you just to see if you can.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome.
Any other information or comments or questions for this item?
You know, Willen, can you put in the chat any the link for that Mo Udall? I can't find it.
Oh, there's nothing out there yet. We haven't written it.
I'm writing it. Okay, got it. That explains everything.
So are there open calls right now, Willen?
No, I guess that would have been the easiest way to say it. No, they're not. One just closed, one's opening up next month.
Okay, so Udall is the...
Udall's the one.
Any other one in the pipeline?
TBD, yes. One of the Thrive projects.
Okay.
And then it's unknown. There's a few parks, but we don't have anything confirmed. We just know there's going to be a couple parks launching before the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, I'm just really intrigued by what you suggested as far as, like, the other, like, VCCs. Because, I'm, you know, like, there's a park and rec advisory, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other part of Proposition 411, the Safety Commission, you know, they look at, you know, safety and bikes and you know, sidewalks. So, like, the commission that I chair is from sidewalk to sidewalk. The roads, right? But then they do the sidewalks to the property lines. And so I think that there's a lot of really creative folks from there who also would, you know, when we start to have those calls, like when Udall, we could use it as an experiment to like just blast it out to all of our fellow, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
For panelists and for artists.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be helpful. We do have in place the mechanism to apply really easily through just sharing the link. It's just we could use help with who to direct it to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be, that, I mean, I think that, you know, taking our baby steps so that we could figure out what works and what doesn't, what's too much, what's not enough, you know, would be really helpful.
Perfect. With that, I'll move on to the next item, item 6, informational kit for PACDC members. And this is the discussion and review of ideas to create an information kit to give to members of the Public Art and Community Design Committee to promote public art opportunities, grants, and other information to the greater community. This is a study action item. I know we discussed some things that kind of go into this, particular, portion of our meeting, but if any of you want to, go into more detail or kind of create a plan of action of, how you want to pursue an informational kit or other things to help promote, public art opportunities, feel free to do that, and you can put forth motions in this item.
So I think what would be helpful for me is, I know we were just talking about what is kind of aspirationally on the docket, Willen, when there's like time and capacity, like you named a few things that you'd like to have kind of like, you know, intro to this or 101 to this. And then Leanne, you were naming some things that would be really cool to have readily, accessible. Like, I think it would be great to compare notes on like what's already being imagined versus Leanne, what you were
mm-hmm.
naming. And then to maybe get a sense of like, I know, that
the Art Foundation staff, y'all are full of amazing ideas and, like, so much that you want to do. And also there's just the reality of, like, being in the nonprofit world in this moment. And I want to, like, honor that things are hairy, and I'm sure y'all are overburdened. And so like, just trying to get, like, a realistic assessment of, like, what we want to do, what there's actually capacity to do, and, like, on what kind of timeline, because I think we were starting to discuss the bones of a really cool toolkit, but it might be that it's coming out more in this art core program, or it might be that it can only emerge when there's, like, some staffing things sorted. And so if we could have a sense of that and not try to duplicate work or step in to offer where there's not capacity to bring these sweet ideas into fruition. Like, I think that would be helpful for me.
Yeah.
You know, what would be helpful for me from y'all is helping me devise, like, an outline of what assets would be helpful for you in essence, the wider public. Like, how can we take the data we already have and make it into a, what kind of bite size, thing do you want the output? Maybe the discussion on this item is to slowly start to build something from a Word document, you know, and then go from there.
That'd be great.
So there are some things, that I've experienced, and I'm not sure if it is with the Arts Foundation, from applying to something, but there are some, I guess, broader, when applying for certain things. One is like a little section, like, who should apply for this? 2D artists that are comfortable with working with 20 feet plus murals, or 3D artists who are comfortable or who are experienced with working on sculpture for public art. Or even so, fabricators who are used to working with metal companies or something like that. I think having some sort of section before every call or just a, like a breakdown of what each, I guess what each project is looking for or is in need of, in terms of like 2D artists, 3D artists, or collectives or teams, even such companies that do like fabricating work or sculpture work or bronze casting and whatnot. I think that right there narrows a lot of it down into what the artist wants to do, because at the end of the day, we are technically dealing with artists themselves who want to do their own work. And I think if they have something of a guideline, and of course, and that's like the other side of, I think this is that you want to encourage all artists to apply, but in reality, if that happens, then, you know, you get bombarded with applications. And, you know, serving from experience, like from experience serving on a panel, it can get pretty long with the number of applications that you have to overlook, especially if your project is on a timeline. But having something like that, you know, a breakdown of what each project would be looking for, and I think that'll sort of guide or steer artists into the direction that they want to go in terms of the chances that they have to get selected for a certain project.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. And really a lot of it is if they've done work that is of similar caliber. Like, we sometimes get people who have done a lot of, you know, easel art, try to go from working in the studio to, you know, the public art sphere. And typically that's something that's hard to ask a panelist to select someone for that. So, yeah, I think that's really important to know. And also to promote for those artists who want to get into public art is that they need to scale up with their portfolio.
Correct. And I'm sure there's probably some projects out there that are on a smaller scale, but that can help artists get their foot in the door, you know. I think addressing that or, like, having that in some sort of writing will encourage them to, you know, go ahead and do that, because we might, you know, be onto someone who is going to break out in public art and all that, and have pieces that, you know, not only reflect the artist, but whatever the project that they're working for. And ultimately enriching whatever environment that they put it in, you know?
Thank you. I agree. And what I'm hearing is, what we need more is clarity, because we do that. It's just not as explicit. And I think what might actually be more beneficial is to make it more broad, like in the call being like emergent or for emerging or like opportunity for emerging artists is bigger, bolder at the top instead of tucked away in the, qualification, not qualifications, but eligibility section. Sounds like it might be more helpful. Because right now it's sort of tucked away under eligibility and it'll say
Oh, I'm sorry, Will.
Oh, that's it. It says what you asked for, but I feel like that's not enough from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think something like that, you know, as a broad headline or something, definitely brings in more attention. Because I think it's more, I mean, in someone's head, more feasible if they see those in words rather than going through the, like how you said, you know, when it's tucked away.
Yeah, you make a great point, too. Because yeah. I know if it's something I'm interested in and that's, like, in the big font at the front,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to click on it faster than just seeing public art call or artist call or something.
Yeah, correct.
Hmm.
Quick kind of, like, just point of process. Question, for the subcommittee meeting, do we have an end time for this meeting, or is it, this is a very awesome and robust conversation, and I don't want to squelch it at all, so I'm just curious if we have a time limit we're butting up against.
It was scheduled from 3 to 4, but, you know, this is almost the last agenda item, we have a couple more, but yeah. I'm scheduled for this for the rest of the day. So.
Okay. I probably only have until 4:30 at the latest.
Okay.
Just naming that. But I love this idea of having, like, maybe this being our continued or top item for our next meeting, so we can really give some thought to, like, what should be included in this toolkit and then start to map it out together. And that feels like a really productive potential working session to me. I want to know, Brandon and Leanne, how you feel about that.
No, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, so you don't have to have any action on this item. We can continue it to the next meeting. I'll add this to a future agenda so we can start squaring away some of the details. But what I have already is comparing notes of what is already happening, what assets would be helpful for members, what format, the outputs that you have already.
Sorry.
Yeah, you've already suggested some formats of outputs, Word docs, and all that, and then also improving the way that we explicitly say who would qualify for a commission in a letters queue. Any other?
Do we?
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, do we want to quickly recap the things? Leanne and Willen that you were saying earlier, just so we can capture them in a Word doc and they're there when we come back together for the next meeting to start kind of working through them and seeing what's feasible and what should we add or subtract. Like, I think I heard like there's what is public art? You know, what is the purview of PACD?
Right, right. What we can do maybe, you can agendize for next time is we'll start a document, a Word doc together, or I'll start, or Sadie will start it, and then, you know, we can look at it together, and it'll just be a list of, like, what assets, start with a list of what assets we think would help.
Mm-hmm.
Social
totally,
media,
and I think that's what we're,
what we're suggesting, but I guess I'm just asking, since we've already named stuff in this meeting, should we recap it for the notes now so that we can start with a document that's already somewhat populated when we get together next?
That might be too soon right now, changing off the top of my head, but if we can use a prompt, how public art works, then that can help generate it when we meet next time. And I can, they'll give me time to look back at my notes from when I tried to launch this thing a long time ago and see if those are still relevant. But yeah, it's basically like the steps to how to apply and things like that. And it can get too convoluted, so.
And
yeah,
everything's recorded too, so we have access to them. We just gotta make sure that they get listed.
Yeah, so I'll compile everything. What is public art and how it works? What is the preview of PECTC? What assets would be helpful? And then also the organizations and stakeholders that we reach out to with any opportunities.
And then I'm just wondering, for this subcommittee, is it possible for us to utilize the chat, or is that not accessible because of the open laws?
Yeah, we can't have chat for open meeting law purposes for subcommittees and the regular meeting.
Okay.
But feel free to reach out to me via email.
Okay. Yeah, because having that live document then would be helpful so that we can just, like, jot down ideas as we're moving through. That'd be awesome. But, yeah.
Yeah, we can't technically work on a live document together. That would be, like, its own meeting to have us all work on a Google Doc. But, Leanne, I can send you one since you're, like, a co-chair.
Okay.
And then if you want to just kind of build it up.
Okay.
Sorry about all the open meeting stuff.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on this item?
I think maybe it's important to have the distinction as we're thinking of what public art is, also what it is not. And, like, what is the purview of PECD and what is not? Because I think that's going to be helpful, not just for the public, but for us as members of PECD.
Totally agree.
Hey, Sadie, have we distributed the new PECDC handbook to everybody?
No, we have not.
Because it's in there, but it's just not, again, it's mixed in with everything else. But we could headline this document with.
Yeah, and maybe that's something that we can send to the education subcommittee members in between now and the next meeting. Perhaps it can be an agenda item to see if you all think that there can be anything added to that document. As you all know, you were all given a kind of new member handbook when you joined. We have since just finished it. It's been in flux with all the new things coming into, you know, the PECDC. And so we can send that to you all, and maybe we can see if there's any holes that you think, because that definitely is, like, in itself an information kit for PECDC members.
Now, I will note that this version has already been approved by Arts Foundation and the city, and pending their approval, will be distributed to all PECDC members as they come on. Mm-hmm. But so that we wouldn't make any changes right away unless they're glaring.
All right. Anything else for this item?
No, Sadie, I just really appreciate your summary of what you're going to provide, because that was, like, everything all into one. So thank you.
Of course.
Yes, well done. And thanks for keeping us compliance with FML. I was like, let's work on a document together. Oh, wait.
Item 7, call to the audience. Members of the public must sign up to speak at the call to the audience at the link provided in the agenda. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, The total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call to the audience, members of the public may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. And there are no people signed up for a call to the audience today. Next item is item 8, request for future agenda items. Are there any requests for upcoming agendas?
I mean, I think if we just have a standing agenda item where we can continue to work on this, an information packet, that would be good so that we didn't have to, you know, do that every time. But
okay.
Yeah, I agree. I left our last TACD meeting a little confused, and if it's just me being dense, I totally take that on. But I guess Will and please don't hate me, but the public art plan, like the ADs say that TACD can help to create, like can shape the public art plan. But in practice, it doesn't seem like we're empowered to. And we talked a bit at the PACD meeting about potentially like seeing what it entails to change the language to the AD. But we were kind of talking about it, and you know, I know I brought it forward, but like talking about it in a way that might actually like result in less empowered, like might disempower the PACD committee. And I'm just wondering if there can be like if there's any further just like nuanced exploration of what this relationship actually is or could be that we could have in this education subcommittee to then bring back to the PACD committee for like, hey, we actually like really went in depth on this topic, and like this is where the nuance lies, or this is what is possible. Yeah, I don't know if that's clear, but.
So basically, an agenda item reviewing the administrative directives for the PACTC and discussing how that language pertains to the authority of its membership.
Yeah. But that's just, I know I'm throwing this curveball in, so I'm curious, Leanne, Brandon, if you feel like that would be interesting to you, useful.
I mean, I just want to, I would love to have a sense of, like, where are our bumpers? You know what I mean? Because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want to throw some strikes here, but we want to have some good bumpers, right?
Well, we have to throw in every direction until we find those bumpers.
Yeah, perfect. But, I mean, I think that this committee could really be a way for us to explore those ideas.
Yeah, let's cross them all.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Just the conversation that we had today was, I guess, reassuring in some things that wasn't really sure, but yeah, no, I definitely do appreciate the conversation that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so y'all are down to keep pulling at that thread together so we can figure it out?
I think we need to.
Yeah.
We need to.
Once that's agendized, I can provide more context, but not at this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Because I do have a plan.
Great.
That would be a
good standing item as well, as like continuing to, I don't have the language right now because it's, you know, 4:30 and my brain stops working at 3, but, but you know, like if we could just have like, you know, fleshing out the committee, what is the committee person role? You know, what are the parameters of our role? or shared leadership or whatever you want to, I don't know, whatever. But
I think it'd be helpful to separate agenda items, one being specific to the ADs and then one being the maybe role or capacity of the committee members.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Then we could talk about it.
Okay. I have the three suggestions. Are there any other requests for future agenda items?
Not at this time for me. Unless we ever, I guess that sounds like a very full subcommittee meeting. So maybe, I guess I'm just like this, the whole idea of the donation for the free wall is something that I'm just very curious about as well, but we can come back to that another time. I think these are three. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm going to delete my comment right now.
I actually really love that because it is something that we are all interested in, but I'm not interested in being attacked about it anymore. That's for damn sure.
Well, yeah. If you want to suggest it now, it can be for a future agenda item. It doesn't have to be next month's meeting.
Oh, okay. Yes. I would like that to be a future agenda item, please. Thanks, Sadie.
Okay. So I have the free wall donation. Any other requests? All right. Let me know if anything comes up. With that, we're at item 9, adjournment. It's 4:31, and this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
What a good meeting. I love this subcommittee. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.